The idea that no one is looking at the model presented by Mayor Rudy Giuliani in New York, which was very simple. If you throw a rock, you're arrested. If you throw a bottle, you're arrested. And all of a sudden, New York was, and it literally was almost overnight, New York became safe.
The John McCullough Show, weekday evenings at 6 on The Patriot.
And it's time for Sports Talk with Ron Cameron on the all-new FM 101.5 and AM 1400, The Patriot. I'm Alex Holloway, producer. Here's Ron Cameron.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Sports Talk. Ron Cameron here. We're going to be joined in just a moment by Dave Bing. And we'd like to hear from you if you want to talk to the former mayor and the Biston Hall of Famer and all. The guy that averaged over 20 points a game, 1 year, 27 points a game in the Hall of Fame. It took him a lot longer to get to $25 million. And then if they signed Caldwell Pope. Caldwell Pope's trying to get $25 million, averaging 11 points a game for his career. What a joke. What a joke. What's wrong with the headsets? Are all screwed up? What are you doing to him, Alex? What are you messing up at for him, Alex? You're shaking your head like you don't know what's going on.
We get some good ones that work. That's all.
You should be out there if they
ones
don't
that
work.
Were crooked in half.
Oh, we can talk more about that later. Dave Bing is my guest on Sports Talk, and we will take your calls at 800-923-9385. He'll be on the whole first hour, and then second hour open line, 800-923-9385. You can email CameronSportsTalk@yahoo.com with Dave in just a moment. BP gas station just opened Clinton Township on Harper at Metro Parkway and has one of Metro Detroit's largest selections of beer, wine, and liquor at low price, and also good gas, too. And BP's convenience store opens 7 days, 5 a.m. till midnight. BP's convenience store and gas station, corner of Harper and Metro Parkway. Snack Depot in Warren and Dearborn Heights has over 6,000 square feet of old-fashioned candies and candy for your party. A perfect place to buy for your candy house. Snack Depot has rock-bottom prices for not only candy, also bread, groceries, and beverages. Just stop by at Snack Depot and browse. You won't believe the selection and the candy colors and the prices. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 till 6. Snack Depot is in Warren on Grosbeck, north of 8 Mile in Dearborn Heights on Beach Daily between Van Born and Michigan Avenue. An advanced medical center in Dearborn provides A to Z treatment for all sports injuries, including surgeries, pain management, physical therapy, and a state-of-the-art facility. Advanced Medical Center is on the corner of Michigan and Schaefer. For an appointment, call Advanced Medical Center, 313-582-0100, 313-582-0100. Dave Bing is my guest, and we'll take your calls when you call at 800-923-9385, 800-923-9385, or email CameronSportsTalk@yahoo.com. What's up, Dave? I know you're doing a lot of charity work now.
Yeah, I've got a organization where we've got about 84 young boys that we are mentoring. So I'm in my third year, and it's really going well.
I could say something about that, but let's not go there. The city council. No, let's not. Let's not go. No, let's not go.
That's bad for radio.
Yeah, it's bad. I'm not going to say it. And so now, and what about Big Steel?
No, I'm completely out of the business now. 3 years ago, when I left office, I dedicated myself to changing some lives for these young boys in the Detroit public school system. And we started with about 40 kids, and we're up to about 84 at this point.
That's good. Now, what does it have to do with school? Now, you're something to do with schools, too, aren't you?
Well, other than, I'm on the board for Jalen Rose over at his school. I'm not heavily involved in DPS other than mentoring these kids. The big thing about the mentoring program is it's one-on-one mentoring. So I have one man for every boy. It's a one-on-one relationship, and it's an unbelievable commitment of time that some of these men are making because most of them are working. They're in their businesses, whether it's corporate or not. And they're dedicating a lot of their time to help these boys turn their lives around.
Now, where does this take place at?
My office is at 151 Jefferson, the UAW building right next to Cobo. So that's what
the office is. You still see the old Cobo there.
Can't run away from it. Can't run away from it.
And so you're really happy you're doing that, aren't you?
Very happy. I think it's, you know, when you know you're making a difference in somebody's life, you know you're doing something good. And, you know, I've got kids that have been in the program now going on 3 years, and it's unbelievable with the mentors because we've had a retention rate of somewhere 90-plus percent. So these guys, even though they commit for 1 year, a lot of these guys have stayed with these kids for the past 3 years.
So you've been doing it 3 years now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I didn't know it was that long.
Yep.
She had a great career in the NBA. Now you see what's going on and some of the salaries. Do you want to make a comeback, Dave?
A little too late. I tell you, the kind of money that's being thrown around today, it is unbelievable. You can't hate on the guys for making money. You would just hope that they would earn it.
And how many earn it? We won't go into that.
Tell that to Andre Drummond.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Don't go on that one. That's a guy I really praise his first couple years. He's a young, let him mature. The more mature he gets, the more immature he is.
Well, I tell you, I know he's 23 years old. You know, he came in the league at roughly 19. And, you know, he is a physical specimen. I mean, he's athletic, but once again, you know, you haven't seen that much growth in him. And the tough thing that about this team is I just think they lack leadership in the locker room. You know, you've got to have players. I mean, the coach, he can be the coach and he can do a lot of good things, but you've got to have players. If you look at the great teams that the Pistons had, there was always a guy. You can start with Isaiah. I mean, he was a coach on the floor. And then after him, there was Chauncey. He was a coach on the floor. And those are the two most successful franchises in the Pistons' history. But those guys held everybody accountable. They don't have that on this team.
They don't have it. Oh, my. But you see a guy like, and then Stan, and I love Stan Van Gundy, but he comes out and says, well, he's getting $25 million. He says, well, we can match any offer. Yeah, right. You have the third highest payroll in the NBA right now, and the Pistons are playing like they should have the lowest payroll in the NBA.
I think everybody's pretty disappointed because I think we felt after, you know, they made the playoffs last year, and even though they got swept by Cleveland, they were competitive.
Yeah.
And then I think in the offseason they had two upgrades. I mean, I think Ish Smith was an upgrade for sure, and John Lauer was an upgrade. So you just assume that, you know, the team would do much better this year than they've done. All of us are disappointed.
When you look at starting off the Jackson, it seemed that really started the ball rolling. And it's been going downhill ever since, right down the hill since. I mean, we know he doesn't play defense. And we know that he couldn't. Oh, there's some guys that just ate him alive and can't even play.
Yeah, you know, I know his injury, and none of us know the depth of his injury, but I'm sure it had an effect on him.
Not his defense. He never played it before either, though.
His offense, though, that was his calling card.
You're right. I mean, the pick and roll, he was – I mean, last year he came in and played very well, but this year was tough for him all the way.
Should he be the point guard here next year, Dave?
I don't think he's a true point guard in the first place because he doesn't penetrate. You know, he's a scoring guard that has...
Not that good of a score either.
Well, you know, when you really look at it, you know, he was getting... When last year, he averaged roughly 18 points a game. So, you know, he can score. He scored in bunches. But this year, I mean, you just didn't see it. And I don't know if it was because of the injury or not.
Well, then you look at Caldwell Pope alongside. I mean, Caldwell Pope plays a lot better with Ish Smith because when Ish gets the ball, he rushes up and down the court. And when Jack's getting his soul, and then their half-court defense sets in, and then they can't score. 2 seconds left, the 24-second clock, and they're taking a wild shot. That's Jackson.
Well, one of the things that I think is missing, they're not a good half-court team.
Oh, God, no.
So when Ish is in the game, he makes things happen because he's quick and he penetrates. And, you know, you get mismatches, you get people trying to switch on him, and that's when Andre does pretty well because he's usually got somebody smaller on him, and he's a great, you know, offensive rebounder. But they've got to run. I mean, they've got to really
run. And he can run, Drummond.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Well, look, another thing, too, about Ish Smith. And Ish Smith, you know, he plays better. I mean, I'm not saying he's good defensive at all, but up against Jackson, he looks like all pro. And then he's third on the team in block shots, and he's 6 feet tall. What's going on there?
Well, he's a competitor. I really like him.
He
was a starter before he came here, and just the mere fact that he came here and accepted position of a number three guard says a lot about his character.
And we got calls too. We got a lot more to talk to Dave Bing. We'll take your calls at 800-923-9385 or email CameronSportsTalk@yahoo.com. We'll be open line the next hour here on Sports Talk. Let's go to Cowboy in Windsor. You're on Sports Talk with Dave Bing.
Oh, well, thanks for putting me on, Ron. Now, it's an honor to talk to you again, Mr. Mayor. Now, a couple of questions, sir. I'd like to know what you think of today's game, you know, with the emphasis on the three-point shot and
the dunk
and the stretch four and all like that, rather than more going to the hoop and everything like when you played. And could you give us some background on that 54-point game you had against the Bulls on February 21st, 1971? I remember listening to that game, and I believe at that time that was the Pistons' record, which I think Jerry Stackhouse has now. But you lost the game to the Bulls 121-106, and you were trying to make the playoffs in 71, and you just missed, I think, by one or two games. And, again, thanks for putting me on, Ron. Great talking to you again, Mr. Mayor.
Well, thank you so very much. That 54-point game was the high point of my career in terms of points scored. But, you know, once again, when you don't win, it rings hollow. I'll tell you, the 3 points line has changed the game quite a bit. You know, you don't see guys running the lane trying to get a layup anymore or some close shot. Everybody wants to flare out and take a 3-point shot. So I think it's changed the game a lot. And
for the better?
No, I don't think so.
And Ray Scott said the same thing.
Yeah, I
couldn't
so.
Coach today with that stuff. So do you think? Here's another thought that I have, and Greg Kelser made this comment, just halfway in comment. It's all dunk and 3 points today. There's no mid-range jumpers in. Those Sam Jones, those people, you, gigs like that, they don't exist.
Well, we lost one good one in Hamilton. I mean, here's a guy who was unbelievable with a mid-range game.
And he was quick, too, but he just quit on the team. He just quit here.
Well, you know, I think with so much turnover and so many changes happening from that team, I just felt like he was by himself. He lost his sidekick in Chauncey once he was traded, and you know there was nobody left from that championship team. And I just feel that I understand how he was hurt. He tried to keep that whole team together, and it didn't work out for him.
Do you think that this team has championship capabilities with this team right now?
No.
I mean, what would...
I think that this team has good players. They don't have a great player. I don't think there's an all-star on the team, quite frankly. They've got 7, 8 guys that can all play. But they've got guys who, out of that 7 or 8 guys, most of them will average anywhere from 12 to 16 points. So, you know, like the good teams, they all have a go-to guy. I don't think we've got a go-to guy right now. And you don't have that guy that's explosive from an offensive standpoint. All of the good teams got somebody that they can go to that's going to get them on a given night 25 or 30 points. We don't have that kind of player.
For a guy to get 25 million in this league that he's asking for, and he's going to get from either Philadelphia or New Jersey, shows you what kind of organization's there, and the Pistons that could match it. In my mind, the guy's going to have to average at least 20 points a game at the shooting guard to be able to command. Even that's too much to command for that. What's your feeling?
Well, the money is ridiculous today. You know, I'm not hating on guys for making a lot of money. They need to make as much as they can because the league is making money. But, it's become I don't like guys when they get these long-term guaranteed contracts and then they don't play up to the contract value. That hurts the game, in my opinion.
Lost a desire like Andre Drummond?
That's true with a lot of guys. These guys have signed these big contracts, and they don't feel that they have to play hard anymore. So
they don't, because money's guaranteed.
Yeah, exactly, and that hurts the game.
We're going to continue with Dave Bing and take your calls. We got emails already. But take your calls at 800-923-9385, 800-923-9385, or email CameronSportsTalk@yahoo.com. Lots to talk about next time, including the Tigers. Blue, actually blue one today. We'll talk about that coming up. And anything else you want to talk about in sports? But Dave Bing here now, 800-923-9385 or CameronSportsTalk@yahoo.com. Need help with math, language arts, or other subjects? MathNoggin in Dearborn is the area's only learning center with instruction in both math and literacy. With 25-plus years of teaching math and English K-12 through college, and an online reporting system for parents to track their students' progress. Afternoon tutoring, 4 to 7, Monday through Thursday. MathNoggin offers SAT, ACT, and PSAT prep located in the Garrison Square, which is on Garrison Road, just east of Military. Go online, MathNoggin.com, MathNoggin.com, MathNoggin.com. Need your cuisine in Detroit, home of the lamb chops prepared by noted chef Dave, and the signature Zip Sauce. Also featuring fresh seafood and veggies and lobster tail. Lunch and dinner special 7 days. Go to D&D Cuisine on Livernois, a quarter mile north of 6 Mile, connected to Trey Wynn's Liquor Store. Go to dndcuisine.com, dndcuisine.com. And Michigan ED Clinics, a facility that helps men with erectile dysfunction, premature ejaculation, and post-surgical prostate impotence. Michigan ED Clinics offers treatments that change men's lives. Their doctors help most men eliminate erectile dysfunction and premature ejaculation with just one visit. Popular prescriptions don't always work and can be dangerous. 70% of men do not respond to pills. His custom blended medication works on 98% of men. Go to MichiganEDClinics.com, MichiganEDClinics.com, MichiganEDClinics.com. We're talking on Sports Talk with the mayor of Detroit for some time and also longtime Pistons star in the Hall of Fame, Dave Bing. And if you have any questions, we invite you to give us a call at 800-923-9385, 800-923-9385, or email CameronSportsTalk@yahoo.com. I didn't realize it was so early in your career when you got poked in the eye, and it could have ended your career.
Yeah, it could have. I was, I was only 27 years old at the time. I was in my fifth year, and, I was a pretty prolific scorer up to that point. I mean, as a kid, when I was 5 years old, I almost lost sight in my left eye, and then I got injured in my right eye and had an operation up at the University of Michigan Hospital, and the team of doctors were a little skeptical about my coming back to play. But I felt if I could see again, I was surely going to play. And I had impaired vision, for my whole career. In the last 7 years of my career, it was difficult for me, and I had to really change my game from being an outside shooter to really starting to drive the ball to the basket and penetrating, and I became a better all-around player.
Now, I'm going to talk about something else. We talked earlier, and I was going to go into it, and I didn't. Greg Kelcer said, and Larry Brown made comment a few years ago. He said, "We got a lot of great athletes in this league. When are we going to get some basketball players?"
And that's a true statement, yes, in my opinion. Just because you're a great athlete doesn't necessarily make you a great basketball player. I would tell you, too, one of the greatest athletes that I thought we had in the Pistons' history was Dennis Rodman.
Oh, yeah.
He was an unbelievable athlete, but he didn't have all of the basketball skills that were necessary. Ben Wallace, another one. Ben's a great athlete, but, lacked some skills. But, from dribbling to shooting to passing, but I tell you, those guys came to play every night, and those are guys you did not want to play against because they brought it to the table.
I'll go a little before you on another one the same way. Pogo Joe Caldwell. Yeah. This guy could jump right out of the building, and I do mean out of the building.
Yeah, I still talk to Joe every once in a while.
Arizona now, is he?
He's in Phoenix, yeah. And, he went over to the ABA, and he became a great player over in the ABA. But athletically, yeah, he was kind of off the chain when he first came into the league.
Boy, he could. But, oh, man, could he? Yeah. Didn't have a great jump shot. Didn't have that outside shot, or he'd have been a star in this league.
I agree.
And you keep in touch with some of these players, too, like
Steady
Eddie Miles.
Yeah, well.
Blind as a bat, but can shoot the ball with anybody.
Eddie is in Seattle. He was my my backcourt mate in my rookie year, and we were very, very good friends. Our families became very close, and the first time I understood that basketball was a business was when Eddie got traded. I mean, Eddie, we played, you know, he didn't play on TV a lot back in those days, and I remember a Sunday afternoon game, and we played New York, and Eddie was the leading scorer, played really great, and after the game, he was traded to Baltimore. For Bob Quick. And I'll tell you, I was really torn up. I was hurt because we were good friends. And, you know, it's like you...
And a heck of a player, too.
Oh, yeah, he was a good player. And it was never the same. But that taught me the lesson that basketball was a business.
And Bob Quick's the other guy I was thinking. He tried to do the color commentator too much here. He's the color commentator with the Pistons. Is he still around?
Bob's in Florida. I mean, one of the thing about the era that I played in, most of us became pretty good friends. And I'm in touch with a lot of guys that I played with and against. And, you know, I think that's missing in the game today. Guys, you know, they just, it's about money. It's about money. It's about instant gratification. It's not necessarily about the game of basketball.
You, and you mentioned about money, and you got a guy like Carmelo Anthony leaving Denver and says, I want to go with a winner. He goes to the Knicks, who won 52 games the year before. He gets over the Knicks. They go to 39. They keep going downhill since then and brought Phil Jackson, who did not help things at all and is ruining things. Then he's a free agent a year or so ago, two years ago, and the Bulls made him an offer, and Bulls were contending to win it. Because he said, money's not an issue. I want to go where I can win. He turned him down to stay with the Knicks because the Knicks offered him more money. And the team's been going downhill ever since. Is he just not a winner, or what is the deal with
him? Well, you know, we should have had Carmelo. I mean, when you go back to when he came out of school, I mean, that draft class was unbelievable. You know, you had Wade. You had Bosh. You had...
LeBron went number one.
LeBron went number one. We took Milicic, whatever his name, Darko.
And then he admitted now that he was drunk during the practice. He'd show up drunk.
Well, we could have drafted Carmelo, and you know that this would have been a great place for him, in my opinion. I mean, he's a talented player, has been. He's been productive, but once again, as you said, you know, money is ruining the game, and. You still don't want to hate on guys for making a lot of money, but the game is about winning.
There's a few coach killers in this league. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And the number one coach killer just gets traded again and goes over to New Orleans, of course, where he won 33% of his games in Sacramento. 33% of his games got six coaches fired. He comes over here, and every game he's in, they lose, or most of them. And then when he goes out with an injury, they win. Now, is this guy just a loser or what?
Oh, he's a talented player.
Oh, yes.
He's talented.
One of the most talented players in the league.
Yeah, I think he's the best center in the league all around. Here's a guy, I mean, he averages 26, 27 points a game, 12 rebounds a game. I mean, he's got all the skills. I don't think that he's going to return to New Orleans. You know, when you look at
he hadn't been there long enough.
They think he's locked up.
Well, when you look at what the Lakers are going through, you know, I know Magic would probably love to have that guy out in L.A. So we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting.
Magic in L.A., is that going to be a success, or is that going to be?
Well, he's been successful everywhere he's been, so I don't see where that's going to change.
But if he goes after these so-called stars and they don't blend in over there, like, oh.
I don't know who he's going to go after, but there are a lot of guys that would respect him because of what he's been able to achieve. So he'll get some guys interested in coming to the Lakers.
You have an email for Dave?
Yeah, Rob from Finland.
Finland, we got a Finland.
yeah, he's from the area and still keeps in touch.
Yeah, I know.
Dave, what's your opinion of this new, quote-unquote, unknown star, Devin Booker, for the Suns, who put up 70 in a game earlier this year?
Well, I'll tell you, he left Kentucky after his freshman year, I believe. And here's a guy that we could have drafted here in Detroit. He was available. You know, as a freshman, you know, you knew he had skills. He could shoot the ball. You know, he had good size for a guard in the backcourt. And, you know, we passed on him. He's going to be a star. There's no doubt about it. He can play, and he's instant offense.
What about the other guy's father? Oh.
Did you hear what he said recently,
oh,
too?
I don't
no.
He
made another comment about race. He brought race in the conversation now.
I'm not sure. I'm not aware of any
of
that.
Oh, yeah. The guard from
LeVar Ball.
LeVar Ball.
I don't even know who that is.
Oh, that shows you right there.
The dad of the freshman from UCLA, Lonzo Ball, talking about how his kids are going to make $1 billion
he
in
could
advertising
beat,
money.
He could beat LeBron James one-on-one without even thinking. And then he said he looks for him to make $1 billion in the shoe industry. And he also said, on college, I could have beaten Michael Jordan one-on-one. They look back at his college record. He averaged 2 points a game. And he's going to ruin his kid, isn't he, like that?
Well, I'll tell you what. You just don't pay attention to anybody like that. I mean, it's not worth the conversation.
We're talking with Dave Bing on Sports Talk. We'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments for David. 800-923-9385, 800-923-9385. You know, and I bugged you, of course, a couple times, and you pushed me away about running for mayor. No, I'm not getting involved in that. Then all of a sudden I see you on the elevator after twice, and you look me in the eye when I come on. First of all, your security guy didn't want me on. I said, excuse me, and you did. Dave said, hi, Ron. And oh, I'm sorry. So I walked on, and I said, you look me in the eye. Of course, you're taller than I am. Looked down. I said, Dave, if you had to do it all over again, would you do it? You didn't comment then. Running for mayor, and he just looked at me and smiled and winked. But you said later last time you would have done that.
Yeah. You know, people ask me if I had a chance to do it again, would I do it? My answer is yes. Because I think with the problems that we were going through as a city at that point in time, I thought I could make a difference. I could help. I didn't know how hard the job was going to be. But I do think for the 4+ years that I was in office, we started to turn the city around a bit, and now it is surely going in the right direction. So I think I made a difference, and I say I. It's not so much me. It was a lot of good people that worked hard. I mean, because it was very, very difficult to get anything done in city government. Mm. So I look back on a lot of the folks that I had in the administration who could have done a lot of different things and made money the right way. but those people stuck, they stayed, and, you know, I think the city, they don't get any credit, any recognition. But if those folks had not stayed in city government, we wouldn't be where we are today.
Well, now Duggan's being opposed by, oh, God, Coleman Young II. He wants to come in and using race and all that stuff like that, but I don't think that apple fell too far from the tree. And
well, I'll tell you, I mean, Mike's a great politician. I think there's some good things that's happening under his watch. You know, he's got a lot of people behind him. The business community seems to be behind him. I think the faith-based industry seems to be behind him. Good things are starting to happen. They won't happen overnight, even under his tutelage. But the city is moving in the right direction.
Demolishing those houses is going to help a lot, clean up these neighborhoods. So there's no way that Young the second or something come in and beat them out, is there? No way.
It'd be very hard to beat Mike, I think. I think it'd be very difficult.
Dave Bing, my guest on Sports Talk, and taking your calls at 800-923-9385. Email CameronSportsTalk@yahoo.com. We got Bob in New Baltimore. You're on Sports Talk with Dave Bing, Bob.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Ron.
Hi.
Hello.
I wanted to first comment. First, I became aware of you. I used to listen to some basketball games when I was going to bed at night and supposed to be going to sleep when I was little. And I put on the Nashville station. It was carrying Vanderbilt against Syracuse.
Oh, boy.
And you scored 45 points in that game and were terrific. I wanted to ask you what you thought of your backcourt mate, and did you ever think he'd be coaching this long?
I didn't think he would be coaching this long. There was no doubt in my mind that he probably would become a coach.
You're Jimmy Boeheim.
Jimmy Boeheim. Jimmy and I were roommates. We're classmates, roommates, and we've always been very, very close. I mean, I recruited for Syracuse. I still do. You know, Jimmy came to Syracuse. We both did in 1962, and he's never left. and he just got an extension. So he's done an outstanding.
Even him, he's
done an outstanding job. He runs a good program. He's had a lot of good kids come through his program, and I'm happy for him and proud for him because I think he's what Syracuse basketball is all about.
Oh well, good. Two quick things. One, was it true that Ernie Davis was the one responsible leading you to Syracuse? And also, the rumor I heard was that Paul George will be joining the Lakers next year. I don't know how true that is.
I think it would probably be true.
Yeah, he's from L.A., and he is a talented player. Yeah, Ernie Davis and John Mackey were the two guys that recruited me at Syracuse because Syracuse had a horrible basketball program when I was coming out of high school. They had lost 27 consecutive games over a two-year period, and I was a high school All-American. And, you know, people ask me, you got to be nuts going to a program like this. But, you know, in my way of thinking, I said, well, one thing's for sure, I'm going to play. if they've lost 27 games in a row, I am definitely going to play. And Ernie and John, you know, Ernie had just won the Heisman Trophy, first African-American to win the Heisman Trophy, and just a great person. And John Mackey and I became very, very close. So I've lost both of them. Ernie died at the age of 22 from leukemia.
That was too bad on him.
In my freshman year. And over the last 4 or 5 years, we've lost Mackey also. So the two guys that were responsible for my coming to Syracuse are both now gone, but two great guys.
Okay, well, great to talk with you, Dave.
Thank you.
Well, Bob, thanks again. Thanks for calling. That's the first time I've heard from him. That's good. That's good. They weren't expecting a call like that, were you?
Not at all.
No,
not at all.
Now, you shouldn't even ended up in Detroit.
Well, I didn't think I was going to.
No, neither anybody else.
I'm an East Coast guy, and you know, as in college, we played in New York quite a bit. Whether it was Manhattan, whether it was Fordham, whether it was St. John's, you know, we played all of those schools. And I just thought for sure that I would be going to play with the Knicks, and Cassie would be coming here from University of Michigan.
And that was a territorial pick back then. So last year, wasn't it?
Exactly, exactly. So I think Cassie felt he was coming to Detroit, and here's another guy that I still see. He was coaching down in Georgia.
College or high school?
College.
What school?
I'm trying to think of a school right now. It's a small school. Savannah State.
Oh, okay. Savannah State. All right.
Yeah. And so I've seen Cassie over the last 2 or 3 years. He's just he's a good guy, a great golfer. He's had some health problems. I think he's had two hip operations, two hip replacements. He's had a bad knee. But I'll tell you what, you get him out on the golf course, boy, can he play. He's tough.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, but I'm sure Cassie thought he was going to Detroit, and I thought I was going to the Knicks. It didn't work out that way, and I'm happy that it worked out that way.
Cause, he's not too happy.
Well, I don't know. He played on the championship team in New York.
Yeah,
so,
you didn't.
No, exactly.
That was the last one, wasn't it?
Yep, exactly.
That was the last one. You know, I can remember going down to the Piston offices back when they had the dispersal draft. Oh, man, was that a disaster. Then the dispersal draft in the ABA.
Yeah.
And they had a chance to pick up Moses Malone, and they passed on Moses
they also passed on Maurice Lucas.
Lucas was there too.
Yeah.
By the way, when you were in college, you played against Clyde Lee, didn't you, at Vanderbilt?
Yeah, Clyde and I were seniors together,
yeah. Yeah, I thought you were the same time.
Yeah.
So I was sitting, and Oscar Feldman jumped right up because they really wanted Marvin Barnes.
That's another story.
Oh, we lost him. He just died a couple years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember the time when they also were. And so they were jumping for joy, and naturally the two, the Pistons, they could have a championship every
year. Would have been. Because if, back then, because Bob was still at his prime. And if he got Moses and or Maurice Lucas, it would have been an unbelievable team.
Nobody said a bigger, better pick than Maurice Lucas. He'd knock you, come near me, knock you right into another time zone.
Yeah, Maurice was tough.
He was tough as heck. Yeah. So I remember that, and I'll never forget it. I thought, what a disaster. What a total disaster. Then I remember another situation that really got me. It's more funny than anything else. They got the big, tall guy they drafted that just was a space cadet, and he was involved in drugs, and they put him into a drug dealer in not jail, but in something. Or maybe he was in jail for a while in Los Angeles, and the Pistons were playing, then Jack McCloskey was general manager, going in the playoffs. Oh, the big, tall guy. My God. And Jack comes over and says, well, we feel that he's progressed since he's been in there. We feel he's now up to a second-grade mentality. A bit seven-footer. Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't recall
The name would come up. It was another disaster that they had. Here we've had a few. You disaster. Of course, I go back to the Reggie Harding days. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so do
I. Oh, my God. Oh, and a nice guy, Reggie.
Yeah, Reggie was.
Hung around the wrong people.
Yep.
All drug dealers. Before there was drugs.
Well, I played with Reggie for 2 years, so we got to know each other pretty well.
Talent? Oh, my God, did he.
Yeah, he had skills. He had skills.
Well, Bob Samaras coached him in high school in Eastern. He had to pick him up to take him to practice. It was that bad. And Reggie lived with me in the projects on Warren and Connor. And I go to Piston practice. Reggie would take me home.
Reggie was a nice guy.
Oh, a nice guy.
Chuck Nevitt, is that the player you were thinking of?
Oh, God, no.
Bedford.
William Bedford. There you go. Not Chuck Nevin. Oh, God, no. Chuck Nevin. Oh, definitely not Chuck Nevin. Oh, heck no.
The Suns drafted Bedford.
Yeah.
Oh, that was. Was that. And he was a space cadet.
I never knew him. I remember him, but I never got a chance to know him.
I'm glad you finally figured it out. I would have gotten to that probably by the end of the show, but I don't know before you went on. The game today, though, with. Greg Kelsey made a comment. Nobody talks about this, but he made a comment, and I think if I were the rules, I would outlaw the dunk in high school and make these guys become players.
Well, if you go back to when
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
They did it in college and made him a Hall of Famer.
Yep, exactly.
The sky hook. Until Will Chamberlain jumped right out of the building and blocked it. Out of the backboard. Will Chamberlain jumped almost at the height of the building and knocked it down. Kareem Strode. Kareem just stood there and almost fainted. There is a great player.
I agree, absolutely.
Ray was saying the greatest player, and I say the greatest player that ever lived. Do you have a question?
Yeah, so what did you learn in your basketball career, if any, that helped you in your political career?
I think the primary thing would have been people and teamwork. I don't care how much success you have as an individual. Basketball is a team sport. And, in order to win, you got to have great teammates. And I think the same thing was true in politics. When you have the responsibility of running a city, there's no way you're going to know all that needs to be known. So you got to depend on people. And I think that was a strength of mine. And you let people play up to their skills, play up to their strengths. There were things that I didn't know anything about when I first went into the mayor's office, but I had people there that knew what they were doing, and I depended upon them. And, you got to give people credit. We got a guy now running our country who thinks that everything revolves around him.
Oh, he's a beauty.
There's a lot of stuff that he doesn't know. And there are people in the system that are experts. And those are the people that you really need to go to.
I don't think he's surrounding him with those people, though.
Well, we all got questions about that, too. But, people are what makes the difference.
And then that was able to help you really get footing in your political career, too.
Absolutely. I sat in many, many meetings with a lot of the leaders in city government and learned a lot from them. And I think it helped shorten my learning curve. But at the same token, you got to listen to people. You got to trust people. And I had a lot of good people with me that made, as hard as the job was, we had fun. We had some enjoyment.
You had a tremendously successful business in Bing Steel.
Yeah, we started.
Weren't you rated the number one black entrepreneur in the United States, or one of them?
Yes, yes.
Number one in the United States.
Yeah. You know, when you look back, I mean, Detroit, because of the automotive industry, was very supportive of minority suppliers. And, you know, I had Ford and General Motors in particular as two home teams here, if you will, that really supported me in my growth. We grew from a startup company with four people to a company that grew to about 1,300 people, and we finished off in terms of total revenue in excess of $300 million. So over a 29-year span from a startup, we grew, and I think we made a difference in the lives of a lot of people because they had good jobs, they were well-paying jobs.
What does the future hold for Dave Bing now? You got the charity. Anything else you're trying to get involved with or want to get going with?
No, I mean, I think this is probably it. I mean, I went from a professional athletic career to a entrepreneur to a quote-unquote politician, and now as a philanthropist with the guys that I'm with right now. So, you know, I'm at a point in my life where I feel like I've been very blessed. I've been fortunate. I've got good health. You know, my kids are, all graduated from college. Now, grandkids have graduated from college. And I'm just looking around to see what I can do to give back and make a difference in the lives of young people because, you know, when you look at the breakdown of the family, for example, there's so many of these young men got no dad, no man in their life. And, you know, it's kind of tough on a lot of them. So this one-on-one relationship that we have established makes a major difference in the lives and the decisions some of these young boys have to make.
We've got another email for you, but I want to ask you a question. You're Stan Van Gundy in the offseason. What do you do on this team? You got to get the payroll lower or the contending, and I don't see really either one happening next year.
To bring the same team back
is
going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult. I mean, they've got to try to get another player. They need a key player. Like I said, it's not going to be easy. You know, most of the good players may wind up staying with the teams where they are. But if you look at the eight teams in the conference that are going to make the playoffs, each one of those teams have a go-to guy. And that's what I'm saying we don't have.
Well, you know, McPhail said the same thing. Or McPhail. I'm sure McPhail. No. The big guy, Kevin McHale, said the same thing because he likes Drummond. He said, is he a go-to player? No. Because when it goes into the post, he's not a passer. He doesn't give it out, give it back. They don't have a go-to player on the team. Just like you said, they don't. And Caldwell Pope's not a go-to player, averaging 11 points a game, even though he wants you to think he's a go-to player if he gets $25 million. If the Pistons, the other team offers him $25 million, if you're the Pistons, do you match it?
They probably will.
That's going to be a mistake.
Well, time will tell. That's all I can say. You know, you can look at some of the I think the most underrated guy on the team is Morris. He's tough. I really like him. He's got some leadership skills. He comes
not
to play.
Not off the court, he doesn't, but that's okay.
You know, he comes to play every night. He has to play the toughest guy on the opposing team in most cases. And they got him for a steal, in my opinion. And I hope they keep him because, you know, he's the heart of this team, in my opinion.
I like Tobias Harris, too.
Oh, he can play. He's got skills. But, you know, once again, when you got, you know, they got three guys at the forward slot that they are all good players. I mean, you got Tobias, you got Morris, you got Laura. And now, so where does Johnson fit into all of this? And now you got the number one draft choice this year.
Ellison really played well the other
day. Yeah, and he's got skills. He's a young kid, but he's got skills. So it's going to be, you know, it won't be any easy decisions, I can tell you that.
One more thing we got to call. As far as what do you do with Drummond? Can Boban push? I don't think he can push him as a starter.
No, I don't think so.
But boy,
either.
He's got a lot more ability than him in some ways. Well, heart, he got a bigger heart.
Well, he's got offensive skills. I mean, he can face the basket. He can shoot. I mean, he's a huge guy. But I'll tell you, Drummond is just blessed as an athlete. I mean, at 6'11", 270 or whatever he is, he runs like a guard. He jumps. He's got really soft hands, but he's got to want to be better. He's got to work at it. I mean, just because you're
I don't think he's working.
Just because you're a good athlete doesn't necessarily mean, once again, that you're going to be a good basketball player.
Ken and Livonia, you're on Sports Talk with Dave Bing.
Thanks, Ron. Dave, a couple of things here. Outside of watching the Bad Boys win it back-to-back, the best basketball I ever saw was when you played the Bulls in 74, that seven-game series.
Yeah. With Ray Scott coaching.
Yeah,
what do you recall about that series, and was that the best Pistons team you played on?
That was the best team that I played on, for sure. You know, we had Lanier in the middle and myself, and you know, we had traded Jimmy Walker, so we had Chris Ford and Stu Lance in the backcourt. They were and John Mengel. So we had four guys in the backcourt that could play. We didn't have a star at the forward position, but they were all steady. We had Don Adams, we had Curtis Rowe, we had George Trapp, and Willie Norwood. And so we had a good team, and we were very, very close. And had we won that last game in Chicago, we would have played Milwaukee with Kareem and Oscar, and we matched up very well with them. And I do believe that had we played Milwaukee, we probably would have gotten into the finals.
With the Bulls, my God, those guards, you guards against those guards, they were as tough as nails back there.
Sloan was tough. Don't... Van Leer was tough. But their forwards were the key to the team.
Butterbean Love
and Chet Walker. I mean, each one of those guys were capable of getting 25 points.
Poetry in motion,
night.
Chet Walker.
Oh, my God. Could
he just fake you right on? Yeah.
Could he
just
play?
Just hit that little swish and jump.
Van Leer was great, too.
Yep. Yeah.
I just remember every game you were on the edge of your seat.
Ken.
Was Ray Scott the best coach you played for, Dave?
Yes. Ray was an outstanding coach, and it's amazing to me after he won Coach of the Year. After he got fired, he never had a chance to get a job again. So a lot of us question that, quite frankly, because it seems like it's a circular thing for coaches. You get fired from one franchise, somebody else picks you up. Ray never got picked up after he had won Coach of the Year. But Ray was a good coach, and I surely appreciated him as a player.
Well, you mentioned about him getting fired, but he technically got fired, but he was stabbed in the back. Let's face it that way, through Herbie Brown. He stabbed him right in the back.
I was gone at that point. I had already left him. I was in.
But you heard that, didn't you?
Yeah, I heard all kinds of ugly rumors. I did.
Yeah, ugly. They were ugly. Yeah. Oh, he was a beauty.
The last question I have for you, Dave, is what are you most proudest of, being a star in the NBA or being a mayor of the major city in the U.S.? And I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Thank you, Ken.
Well, neither one of those. I think the greatest thing that I'm most proud of is business. You know, when you can impact folks' lives by making sure that they got a good job and they're well paid and you know, they got good health care. That made me more proud than anything else, because I knew there were a lot of people that worked for me that people had given up on. And I was told that you know, folks didn't have a good education, they're going to ruin you and blah, blah, blah. But it worked out. I had a lot of good people. People worked hard. People got along. And we had a good company that grew and made a difference in the lives of a lot of different folks.
We're going to close it out with Dave Bing when we continue here on Sports Talk for the last couple minutes. Demi's Restaurant and Bar, formerly Laffery Steakhouse, features steaks, lamb chops, burgers, and more. Lunch, dinner, and drink specials 7 days, live entertainment daily, and blues on Sunday. Demi's Restaurant and Bar, corner of 7 Mile and Telegraph. If you're looking for the best quality and vitamins and nutrition at the best price in Metro Detroit, stop by Edge Living Nutrition Store in Novi. Edge Living is the best price in Metro Detroit, and the hottest brands for sports nutrition, health and wellness, certified nutritionists to customize your very own weight loss or fitness plan. Don't have time? Well, shop online at GoEdgeLiving.com. GoEdgeLiving.com. Edge Living is conveniently located corner of Grand River, Novi Road, inside Creams and Caps Pharmacy. For all your mind, body, and sport needs, go to EdgeLiving.com. And Tokyo Pho Thai and Water features the best in Thai, Asian, and Vietnamese dishes. People love Tokyo Pho's Pot Prick and Pod Thai, named after Bob Page, as you know, Pod Prick, curry peanut, and the area's best drunken noodles. There's another Bob Page dish. Serving lunch and dinner 7 days, Tokyo Pho Thai is on 3420 Highland Road at Castlake Road. Or find Tokyo Pho Thai on Facebook. And Kwai Bubble Tea in Clinton Township features bubble tea, a Taiwanic beverage. It's iced tea sweetened with fruit or milk tea. Drink it with a fat straw, chew it while you drink, or try the popping boba. And open 7 days, Kwai Bubble Tea, corner of Garfield and 19 Mile. Find Kwai Bubble Tea on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. College of Martial Arts in Sterling Heights, fun family karate for over 16 years for guys and gals from 4 to 104. Rated one of the best schools from Google, Yelp, and Facebook. College of Martial Arts, corner of 50 Mile and Chandler. Online, komakarate.com. Komakarate.com, C-O-M-A, karate.com. And Doc Burger, or Got Burger in Ypsilanti, features gourmet burgers, choice of beef, chicken, and vegetarian, along with a variety of sides. Got Burgers open Tuesday, Wednesday to 1 a.m., Thursday, Friday, and Saturday to 3 a.m. for you party animals like Alex. You love the burgers at Got Burger in Ipsy on Cross Street at Adams across from EMU. Go to gotburgeripsy.com, gotburgeripsy.com. Do you think if the Pistons come back and just make a couple of minor changes, can they make the playoffs next year?
Oh, I think they can make the playoffs, yes.
Not do much in there, then, or something?
Well, you know, I think you still got Boston, which is a very good young franchise.
I love them. Good coach, too.
Yeah, they're very good. And as long as LeBron is playing, I mean, there's no drop-off in his production. I mean, he still is, you know, if not the best player, one of the top two or three
players.
But
now if they just come
league.
Back with this team, they're probably sinking in the mud.
Well, you know, we've got to make some changes, in my opinion. There are upgrades that need to happen. You're not going to necessarily get it in the draft. So whether it's in the free agent market or some major trade that we might be thinking
I think
about.
He's got something on a trade worked out already. You got that last email
from there. Yeah, Jeff from Ferndale. Should Sam Van Gundy have left Ish Smith as the starting point guard even when Jackson came back because of chemistry issues with Jackson? And where do you put LeBron in your history books?
Let me go with the last question first. I think LeBron, Michael, and Kobe are the three most talented players that I think I've seen over the years.
What about Chamberlain?
He was the most dominant.
Definitely the most dominant.
He was the most dominant. But LeBron's right up there. There's no doubt about it. As far as the Ish Smith staying in the starting lineup after that 21 game that Jackson missed, it probably should have stuck with them because if Jackson could come off the bench, and that's where he was so good when he was out at Oklahoma. He didn't start out there. He came off the bench, and he killed everybody as a number three guard. And he came here, and we tried to make him something that I don't think he is. He's a scoring guard, not necessarily a point guard.
Thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you, Ron. Good to see you all.
We had a lot of fun. We'll do it again next year with you. We had a lot of fun.
We go back a lot of years.
Do we go back. The second time you've been on radio, and you're on TV with me once. I owe you one more here coming on in a few more months or next year. We'll get you back on again.
All right. Good to see you.
We had a lot of fun.
Good.
That is Dave Bing on Sports Talk. We're open line the next hour. Give me a call at 248 or 800-923-9385 or email. Do email now at the start. CameronSportsTalk@Yahoo.com. CameronSportsTalk@Yahoo.com. We'll continue after the break on Sports Talk. Stay tuned.
Sponsored by Sports Talk with Ron Cameron. Acos, the solutionist here. Join us on My Cool Inventions. Every Saturday, we'll be looking for the next $100 million product invention. Be a part of the action so you can vote for your favorite inventor or hear from experts on how to turn your great product idea into a big brand. Better yet, submit your inventions to Genesis, the Search for America's Top Invention Contest. You could win a $50,000 grand prize package. Go to MyCoolInventions.com. Tune in Saturdays on WDTK.
Hi, this is Ron Cameron, inviting you to join me for my show, Sports Talk, the longest-running sports show in the United States. I've been on, this is starting year number 47 for me. My show airs here on The Patriot, 101.5 FM and 1400 AM, every Saturday and Sunday from 5 till 7 p.m., the new 101.5 FM, I might add. You can talk to the celebrities from the sports world or to me open line, both Saturday and Sunday from 5 till 7 p.m., again on AM 1400 and FM 101.5, The Patriot.